Good evening. It's indeed good to see each and every one here. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are those that are interested in the Word of God, interested in godly things. We look around us in the world today, and oftentimes we may find ourselves looking and wondering if we're alone in this endeavor to seek after the Lord. And it's good to be with those of like precious faith. As we look this evening, as we look into the women of the Bible, as you have been this week, today we are going to be speaking of Martha and Mary. And while I'm in here, does this turn on? Okay. It's on. Yeah, it's good. Sorry about that. So as you've been looking this week at the women of the Bible, and you've gained many lessons from learning about those that are depicted in the Scriptures. And I know it's been mentioned at different times this week in the lessons that I've had the privilege to listen to. It's been mentioned many times that behind every good, strong elder, behind every gospel preacher, behind every good, strong Christian family, there are those that work in the background. And oftentimes it is those godly women that in the form of mothers and wives and grandmothers and even just sisters in the faith that hold together that thread of family and help to push on and encourage those that are seeking after the Lord. You know, in today's world, we have a narrative that is being pushed by many to say that the Scriptures would put down put down women, and that it belittles them. But an honest look at the Scriptures will tell you otherwise. Would tell you that the Scriptures speak of women being strong helpers in the Lord's church and strong helpers in families, raising those that are going to seek after the Lord for the rest of their lives. So as we continue to think on these women of the Bible, I urge you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to be taking our lesson from this evening, Luke chapter 10, and starting at verse 38. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So Luke chapter 10, at verse 38 beginning, it says, "Now it happened as they went, that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And thus Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her.'" As we look there into the text, we see there in verse 40 that she was distracted. And every one of us in this room, I'm sure, can identify with being distracted, especially in a situation where perhaps you have those that have come into your home and you're dealing with giving them hospitality. And when we become hurried and we become rushed in life, we can identify with that idea of being distracted with all the many things. And as Christ says there in verse 41, you are worried and troubled about many things. There's all those things that are going on in that situation that she's in. She's probably thinking about, does everybody have enough of what they need? Does everybody have a place to sit comfortably? I can't read that without thinking back to my childhood and thinking of my grandmother, who every Sunday afternoon had a meal ready, who ran around the house making sure that everyone else was taken care of. I think of my mother-in-law, who on Sundays when we are at their house does the same thing, and we have to force her to sit down and eat for herself. And we think of that, and I want to paint that picture in our minds of that kind of a situation, because I don't believe in looking at this that Martha had any nefarious reasons for being distracted. But nonetheless, she was doing what she felt was necessary at the time, but she was distracted, and she was distracted from something very important, the good part. And we want to talk a little bit about that later today, but I want us to enter the lesson with that thinking and understanding that, you know, we're not attempting to, I don't want to preach a lesson and bring on a smear campaign on Martha, because I understand that she was distracted and worrying about things that, well, honestly, we all worry about from time to time in our lives. And that is something that we all must take a lesson from Mary in paying attention to that good part. As we continue to think about these lessons that we can learn from Mary and Martha, as we still have that the scriptures in our heads there, let's continue to think a little bit about the question of why do we worry? Why is it that we find ourselves in such a predicament every day of our lives that we worry about so much? As you think back, and we can all think back to the last couple of years and how time has gone by, and I often had found myself wondering the same thing. Why do we worry? You know, so many have allowed worry and fear into their lives in so many different ways. The last few years, we've seen that rear its ugly head many times in society, and sometimes even in the Lord's church. We have many sources of anxiety in our lives, and one of those being health, and that's the one I'm speaking of, you know, in the past couple of years here. But we have jobs to think about many times, and money, like it or not, comes into play with our thinking. Family can be a great source of worry and distress in our lives if we allow it to. You know, which, speaking of women in the Bible, and speaking of that very same thing that Martha was worried about, she was worried about taking care of people, and think of the mother who was worried about their child. If you have children, you notice that mom is the one that is worried about how are they doing? Are they developing properly? Are they doing the things that they need to do at the right time? And all of that worry and anxiety about, am I doing things right? Is everything turning out okay with my child? It's just normal, but it's not something that we need to make paramount in our thinking and in our lives. But many times we see that happening with mothers. We see that concern for their family. We've mentioned health, and what about social pressure? You know, we live in a world where we're bombarded with all sorts of things on the television, and on now we have these smartphones we carry around with us, and it bombards us with ideas and thoughts and images, and that creates a social pressure within us as we go through life. You know, it used to be that at school, when you were growing up in school, they would talk about peer pressure. They would talk about peer pressure and how it affects young people, and how it causes people to do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And, you know, for most of you know that my father-in-law and I spent 20 years teaching young people how to drive. And in that time, we would often talk about peer pressure with the young people that came into the classes. And we would tell them that peer pressure is not a real thing. It's not something, a real measurable force that is pushing down on your head that you can't escape, but it's something that is inside your mind. It's a desire to fit in with a group, to fit in with a group of people. And as Christians, we should desire to fit in with the Lord's group, with those that are seeking after the Lord. But oftentimes we find ourselves in that area of social pressure. And I think we kind of see that perhaps here in this account. You know, Martha being worried about all the people around her and maybe what they're thinking and making sure that they're taken care of and so on. There's some pressure there. But it can be overcome. It's not something that is, again, pushing down on our heads, that is some force that we have nothing to do with. It is all entirely in our minds when we really truly think about it. Now, I want you to turn with me into the book of Matthew. And Matthew gives us another little tidbit to think about here. In Matthew chapter 6, at verse 25, we read, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Moving on to verse 33, we get to kind of the crux of it here. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." And with many issues of life, we have to stay focused. You know, I think one of the things that has dragged the world asunder so much around us today is that we fail again and again as human beings to get down to the crux of the matter. Why is it that something is happening in our lives? Why is it that things seem to be falling apart around us? It's because we haven't focused on what was really causing it. And in almost every case, it's because we haven't put first things first. We've forgotten the important part. We've forgotten that thing which cannot be taken away from us. Just as Christ spoke of the one good thing that Mary chose, that good part. You know, as we continue to think, we should ask that question: what is first in our lives? You know, if you find that you go through your daily life and perhaps you wake up on Sunday morning and decide, well, you know what, it's a beautiful sunny day, I think I'll go to the park and have a picnic. And yet the brethren are gathering as commanded to worship our Lord and Savior on the first day of the week, and you find yourself putting another priority first. There's something to think about there. Something is amiss. Is Christ first in our lives? And I think most people in the world today would try to rationalize the idea that perhaps they do love the Lord and they do desire Christ, but yet fail to open the Scriptures. Can that be said about us? Something to think about. Now, the one good thing, and we'll get to that again in just a moment, but Mary was concerned with the words that were coming out of the Lord's mouth. That was of paramount importance, rather than all of the other things. You know, and I also can't help but think of, you know, if you have children in your house, you have siblings, and one person is doing one thing and another person isn't holding up their end of the bargain in that first person's mind, they come crying to mom or dad, make them do this or make them do that. That's a daily thing in my house. And you see another little aspect there of that sibling rivalry perhaps. And that's another thing that perhaps can, and I guess I'm speaking to the young people and perhaps older people if this still vexes you, but even that can distract you from what is truly important in life. So if you have to spend a little extra time carrying the weight for one who is lacking from time to time, isn't that what brethren do? Lift each other up, build each other up, and be there in times of weakness. So to continue on, we think about Martha's concern. Think about what she was putting first in her life. And her concerns were, I believe, genuine. She had a desire to serve people. She had a desire to make sure things were in place where they needed to be. But her priorities, perhaps, were a little bit askew. And I think Christ pretty well nailed that down and proves that for us, that her priorities were a little bit askew. Now, and Christ goes on and rebukes Martha a little bit and kind of sets things straight. And sometimes we need that. You know, it's always difficult to find out that you've missed the mark a little bit. It's always difficult to find that you haven't done something as well as perhaps you should have. You haven't kept up your end of the deal. But after that, growth comes. And so one thing that we can take from this is that if we find out, if our heart is pricked because of the Word of God, just like Martha was hearing the Word of God, if our hearts are pricked and we realize, you know, my priorities have kind of gone off the path, then change needs to happen. And that can be difficult, but it's possible. And I think it's one of the lessons that we should certainly take from this account in the Scriptures. Did Martha really have a problem? You know, when you think about what was going on there, you might look at that and say, well, what could she possibly be doing wrong? I mean, she's taking care of people. Why did he come down on her so hard? But really, in reality, Christ is trying to get her to realize what is truly important. Not that those other things aren't important in some way. Notice he didn't rebuke her for doing those things. Those things in and of themselves were not bad. But it was the putting those things ahead of learning what she could in that particular period of time. Seeking after those things that, you know, as we know, Christ was there in the flesh for a very limited period of time. And that's the time that she needed to be paying attention. And likewise, we have the days of our lives to pay attention to the Word as well. You know, let's look at John 12 at verse 8. And Christ intimates this to her. He says, "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." And this is, of course, at a time when there's been a statement made about the spending of the money in the purse. Judas is upset about those things that have been happening with the spending of the money. And Christ says, "For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." He's telling them to pay attention to the words that I'm saying. Listen to these things that can save your life, give you eternal life, rather than those things that are always going to be there. There's always going to be those things that we can do, those things that as human beings we can do to be helpful to others and so on, but we can't forsake the word of the Lord. We can't forsake that teaching that the Lord desires that we have. Isaiah 55:6 is something that we should all think of most days of our lives, every day. Seek the Lord while he may be found. You know, we sit here today and we have breath in our bodies and we have the blessing of being able to feel the sunshine on our face. Walked out of the house this evening and realized how warm it was. You can feel the warmth of the weather outside, and that too will pass. We do live in Ohio. The weather could change tomorrow. But more eternally, we only have, again, the time that we have. We need to call on him while he is near. We need to do what Mary was doing and seek after his truth while we can, while we have the breath of life. Now, as we continue to think a little bit more, we've talked and I've mentioned a couple of times about the good part. And we see there in the reading in verse 42 of Luke 10, it says, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So what is that good part? Let's think about that for just a little bit. I want to think about the bread of life versus the bread of nourishment. If we go to Matthew 4, let's go over to Matthew I don't have that on the right screen. There we go. Go to Matthew 4 at verse 4. It says, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God.'" And this is what Mary was concerned with. She was feasting on every word that came out of the Lord's mouth. This was the good part. Those things that can't be taken away from her. When we think about the word and how we're supposed to hide it in our heart, that we might not sin against God. You know, this is what Christ is speaking about. That she was filling up on that nourishment of the bread of life and not just concerned with nourishing everybody's stomachs that were there at this particular occasion. And again, those things are important. It's a wonderful thing to be able to be hospitable to another. My family and I experienced some of that this evening, and I've experienced that from this group and other Christians across the country over and over again, and it humbles me. But we need to be sure that we are also seeking that good part, that bread of life, not just the things that we see in front of us now, not just those things that we desire in the world around us right now. As we continue in thinking of these things, we might ask the question, should Christians have anything that they're concerned about in life? And of course, you know, hospitality like Martha's has its place. You know, let's go to Romans 12, and I'm specifically interested in verse 13, but let's read starting at verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy." This is Romans 12 at verse 9. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." It's something that each and every one of us should do. We should be those that seek to be hospitable. And when we look at the preceding verses there, we see we start to get a picture that is painted. Some things that we should each seek after. Abhorring what is evil. You turn on the television today. You listen to the radio and popular culture, and there are a lot of things to abhor. There are a lot of things that are sprinkled with evil out there in the world, and we must stand against them. We need to be those that stand up against those things, and we need to be those that build each other up, and hospitality is one of those ways. That's one of those ways that we can help each other and build each other up, get to know each other, and be a family. I'm always telling the brethren at Medina that we are truly a family, and I truly feel that about all the brethren here as well. You know, I meant to open up by thanking you for all of the wonderful learning and support that you've given me over the years. I mean, this right here is the family of God locally here that put me on the right path years ago and helped me to understand the things that were lacking in my life. And for that, I'm thankful. Along with that came some hospitality. One of the first times I visited here, one of the brethren invited us to their house and got to know us and spoke with us and taught a little bit. It was a very meaningful thing that I still remember to this day. And it can be very powerful. And that's what we're told in the scriptures, that we should be given to hospitality. And the Lord knows what he's doing. He knows what he's asking of us. And this is one of those things. Now, Martha was concerned with that, but nonetheless, we understand that we must not forsake the teaching of the Scriptures. It's not just about hospitality. You know, there are many in the religious world today that have gone so far askew with this idea of hospitality that they've turned that into what they do for worship. And that's kind of the point here. It's not the getting together in the fellowship that's going to save anybody. It is the obedience to the gospel, adherence to the law of the Lord. And that's what Mary was concerned with. And we do too from time to time. You know, we know that we must work in thinking of whether or not Christians should have concerns in life. You know, we understand that if we do not work, we do not eat. You know, in 2 Thessalonians 3 at verse 10, there we read, "For even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." From the very beginning in the garden, at the fall of mankind, when God turned Adam and Eve out of the garden, he told them that they were going to now have to work, that they were going to now have to work for their sustenance. And that was going to be the lot of mankind. And that continues to this day. We must work if we plan on eating. It is something that is, used to be taught often in schools to our young children. It's something that we understand at a very rudimentary level, if we're honest with ourselves. So yes, we need to have concerns as far as showing up to work and being good workers and being those that do what they say, mean what they say, and say things that are, from the Scriptures to our friends and our family. We should have concerns in our lives. You know, one of the things, the most important thing that we can have a concern with is the truth. Contending for the faith. You know, in the book of Jude, verses 3 and 4, let's read a little bit there. "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we must be those that contend for the faith. We must contend earnestly for that which is true. That which was once for all delivered to the saints. It's important. This should be a major concern in our lives. Now, Mary was concerned with getting to know those words of the Lord and hearing those words and putting them into her heart. And likewise, we must do that very same thing. We need to be concerned with learning more each and every day. And we need to be concerned when we hear things that are against that which is true, that which we can find in the Scriptures. You know, some time ago I did a lesson at Medina, and what prompted the lesson was something that I heard in popular culture. Something that I heard that someone was saying, well, you can have your truth, and you can have your truth, and they can have their truth, and we can all just be happy. Well, that should not be so. And we need to be concerned with the truth being spread around us, making sure that the Word of God is spread to each and every one of our friends and family as much as we are able. You know, when you think about the first century church, think about what happened on the day of Pentecost, and you think about those that were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart, and then what did they do? They made a change, and so many were saved just in that first day, and it continued. It continued. And the church grew like wildfire. And here we sit today, and I think oftentimes we become comfortable. And we decide not to get angry about those things that are against the truth of the Lord. And we sit in our comfortable places. And we forget about that that one thing, that thing that can't be taken away from us, we forget that we need to share that with others. We forget that example that we have in Mary. And let me tell you, sitting here today, we have many, many young mothers. And the best thing that you can do is to share the truth with your youngsters. Fathers, also sharing the truth with your young children. So that there may be that remnant, that even if it be a small bit of people on this earth that continue to share the truth throughout the generations. But more than that, why can't we be like that first century church? Why can't we be like that first century church that grew so quickly? We have the word. We have the word. Sometimes we need to have that zeal to be able to share it with others. The word is able to do the work. It's not any individual, but the word is able. You know, as we think about these examples that we've been looking at, you know, if we think about Mary and Martha, and we think about how they were thinking about different things, and how Mary came around and was thinking about the godly spiritual things. Well, imagine a Christian woman or man with a heart of service to others like Martha. And imagine in that same person, you have the faith of Mary, a concern for others and a knowledge of the truth and a desire to share that truth with others. And where would that go? What an awesome thought. What a powerful thought. How far could the gospel be spread? How effective could we be if we had those same qualities about ourselves? It's something that as we look into the scriptures and we have these examples that we should each think about. You know, if we let's turn with me over to the book of John. And in the book of John at chapter 11, John chapter 11, I want to read something to you and leave you with one more thought as we think of Mary and Martha. And we know how this account began. We know how Martha was worried about many things, how she was distracted with all those many things, and Mary was seeking after and hanging on to every word of the Lord. So if we go to John 11 and verse 20. Now let's get started at verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And what I want to pull out of that situation is that notice there in chapter 11, verse 20, that Martha, as soon as she heard, she went out and met him, but Mary was still in the house. It's the polar opposite of what we read earlier. So maybe, just maybe, Martha learned something from that earlier experience, and she left behind those things of, there had to be people at her house, and perhaps there were people to tend to and things to tend to, given the circumstances, but she came to Christ first. Now, in the ensuing verses, you still read that there's not perhaps a complete comprehension of the power of God and the spiritual nature of Christ's words. But in verse 27, she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God who has come into the world." You know, there's that great confession that we must make, that we believe that Christ is who he says he is. But as we see in these examples, there are things that get in the way. There are those concerns of life that muddy the waters, that cause us not to think clearly at times. But perhaps we can do better in the future. Perhaps we can look at these examples that we've learned of this week, and perhaps we can look at the example of Mary and Martha, and perhaps we can be like the Martha that we read about there in John 11 at verse 20. The first thing that we do when trouble comes is to run to Christ. The first thing that we think of is let's put our hope and faith in Christ in the difficult situations. Even if we don't understand, and even if we still have our times of doubt, true faith is to seek after Him and know that no matter what, doesn't matter if we understand it completely, that His will be done. So in a few moments, we're going to offer the Lord's invitation. And in preparation for that, I want you to think about one of the questions that we talked about here this evening. And that is, have you chosen the good part? Now, Mary chose the good part, that which could not be taken away from her. And here this evening, I want us each to think about that as well. And we'll continue this line of thinking in just a few moments. I thank you for your attention and your good listening, and I pray that it's been profitable to you. Thank you very much.